जय गोपी जानवल्लभा गिरिवारधारी जय गोपी जानवल्लभा गिरिवारधारी यशोदानन्दन व्रजजनरञ्जन यशोदनन्दन व्रजजनरञ्जन यमुना तेरा वनचारी यमुना तेरा वनचारी जय राधा माधव कुंज विहारी जय राधा माधव कुंज विहारी जय गोपी जानवल्लभा गिरिवारधारी जय गोपी जानवल्लभा गिरिवारधारी यशोदानन्दन व्रज जनरञ्जन यशोदानन्दन व्रज जनरञ्जन यमुना तेरा वनचारी यमुना यमुना तेरा वनचारी जय राधा माधव कुंज विहारी जय राधा माधव कुंज विहारी
जय ओम विष्णुपाद परमहंसा परिव्रजाकाचार्य अष्टोत्तर शत शीर्ष मिचले श्री भक्तिवेदांत स्वामिप्रभुपाद की जय ओम विष्णुपाद परमहंस परिव्रजाकाचार्य अष्टोत्तर शत शीर्ष मिचल भक्ति सिद्धांत सरस ठाकुर गोस्वामी प्रभुपाद महाराज की अनंत कोटि वैष्णव वृंद की नामाचार्य हरदास ठाकुर की समवेद भक्तवृंद की ऑल ग्लोरीज टू द असेंबल्ड डिवोटीज ऑल ग्लोरीज टू द असेंबल्ड डिवोटीज ऑल ग्लोरीज टू द असेंबल्ड डिवोटीज ऑल ग्लोरीज टू श्री गुरु एंड श्री गौरांग ऑल ग्लोरीज टू श्रील प्रभुपाद
ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
रीडिंग फ्रॉम कैंटो 4 चैप्टर 24 टेक्स्ट 32
मैत्रे उवाच इति अनुक्रोश हृदयो भगवानाहतांशिवा बद्धांजलिन राजपुत्रान नारायणापरोवचः मैत्रेय उवाच इति अनुक्रोश हृदय भगवानाहतांशिवा बद्धांजलिन राजपुत्रान नारायणापरोवचः मैत्रेय उवाच इति अनुक्रोश हृदय भगवानाहतांशिवा बद्धांजलिन राजपुत्रान नारायणापरोवचः मैत्रेय उवाच भगवानाहतांशिवा बद्धांजलिन राजपुत्रान नारायणापरोवचः वाच इति अनुक्रोश हृदय भगवानाहतांशिवा बद्धांजलिन राजपुत्रान नारायणापरोवचः मैत्रेय उवाच इति अनुक्रोश हृदय भगवानाहतांशिवा बद्धांजलिन राजपुत्रान नारायणापरोवचः मैत्रेय उवाच भगवानाहतांशिवा बद्धांजलिन राजपुत्रान नारायणापरोवचः मैत्रेय उवाच इति अनुक्रोश हृदय भगवानाहतांशिवा बद्धांजलिन राजपुत्रान नारायणापरोवचः
माताजी
मैत्रेय उवाच इति अनुक्रोश हृदय भगवानाहतांशिवा बद्धांजलिन राजपुत्रान नारायणापरोवचः
वॉट टू वर्ड मीनिंग मैत्रेय उवाच द ग्रेट सेंट मैत्रेया कंटिन्यू टू स्पीक इति दस अनुक्रोश हृदय वेरी काइंड हार्टेड भगवान
the Lord Aha said Tan unto the Prachetas Shivaha Lord Shiva Badhanjalin who were standing with folded hands Rajaputran the sons of the king Narayana Paraha Lord Shiva the great devotee of Narayan Vachaha words translation by his divine grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada the great sage Maitreya continued out of his causeless mercy the exalted personality Lord Shiva a great devotee of Lord Narayan continued to speak to the king's sons who were standing with folded hands please repeat the translation responsibly the great sage Maitreya continued out of his causeless mercy the exalted personality Lord Shiva a great devotee of Lord Narayan continued to speak to the king's sons who were standing with folded hands purport by Srila Prabhupada Lord Shiva voluntarily came to bless the sons of the king as well as do something beneficial for them he personally chanted the mantra so that the mantra would be more powerful and he advised that the mantra be chanted by the king's sons rajaputras when a mantra is chanted by a great devotee the mantra becomes more powerful although the Hare Krishna Mahamantra is powerful in itself a disciple upon initiation receives the mantra from his spiritual master for when the mantra is chanted by the spiritual master it becomes more powerful Lord Shiva advised the sons of the king to hear him attentively for inattentive hearing is offensive Om Ajnana Timirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshur Ulmilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Guruve Namaha Namo Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishthaya Bhutale Shrimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Niti Namine Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschat Deshtarine Sarva Shastrabdi Piyusha Sarva Vedeka Satphalam Sarva Ratnadyas सर्वसिद्धान्तरत्नाद्या सर्वलोकैकदृक्प्रदां सर्वभागवता प्राणा श्रीमद्भागवता प्रभो कलिद्वान्तोदितादित्या श्रीकृष्णपरिवर्तितां परमानन्दपाठाय प्रेमवर्षक्षराय ते सर्वदा सर्वसेव्याय श्री कृष्णाय नमस्तुते मदेक बंधो मत संगिन मद्गुरो मन महादना मन्निस्तराक मद्भाग्या मदानंद नमस्तुते असाधु साधु तादाइन अति नीचो कतारका हानमुंच कदाचिन माम प्रेम नरित कंठयो स्पुरम हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्णा सो वी रीडिंग फ्रॉम कैंटो 4 चैप्टर 24 टेक्स्ट 32 सो आई लाइक टू टेक द ब्लेसिंग्स ऑफ ऑल द सीनियर वैष्णवस एंड ऑल द अदर वैष्णवस बिफोर स्टार्टिंग So, we have Lord Shiva here, who is giving his mercy to the Prachetas. And as Gokuleshwar Prabhu yesterday was mentioning, that this mercy is causeless mercy. Even though the Prachetas had very good qualities, they were very well behaved and very submissive. And they were listening to the authority of Lord Shiva. Even then these qualities they are insufficient to attract the mercy of Lord Shiva or to get what Lord Shiva is going to give them. So in that sense, it is causeless mercy. So Lord Shiva, starting from the next verse, he is going to explain or is going to give those prayers or mantras. Right here, Prabhupada uses the word mantra, right, oftentimes in the purport. So Lord Shiva is going to give prayers. So these prayers, right, consisting of 30 verses from now, actually, Lord Shiva is going to explain to them, recite these prayers. And at the end of the prayers, actually, Lord Shiva is going to mention that he has not manufactured these prayers. Right? This mantra is not, these prayers are not manufactured by Lord Shiva. They are coming in parampara. In the purport, actually, Srila Prabhupada makes a very solid point about this parampara. So, Lord Shiva is going to mention that in the 76th verse specifically, he mentions that this is coming from Lord Brahma. Lord Brahma had originally spoken these prayers. And in that assembly, Bhrigumani was also there, because Lord Brahma was speaking to the Prajapatis. Bhrigumani was there, the Rishis were there, and Lord Shiva was also present. So Lord Shiva has heard these prayers from Lord Brahma and is giving these prayers, right, in parampara. So, at the end of the prayers, again, Lord Shiva is going to say that although it is very difficult to obtain the devotional service of Lord Krishna, right, Krishna Bhakti, it is difficult, he says. Right, in one of the verses, he says, it is difficult to get the mercy of the Lord, still, whoever, right, any devotee who either recites these prayers or who reads these prayers, at least reading is possible, right? Reciting is also possible. 30 verses, prayers. So whoever does this, Lord Shiva says, this song which is sung by me, whoever does this, will easily get the mercy of Lord Krishna. It is a concession scheme. Right? It is Lord Shiva's mercy which is given here. So at least for the next 30 days, we can have very attentive hearing of Bhagavatam classes. Right? Even after that, but at least for the 30 more days when the prayers are going on. So, Lord Shiva is described here as Narayana Parayan. Narayana Paro. Narayana Para. So, Narayana Para, there are two kinds of devotees, Narayana Yana and Narayana Para. Narayana Yana are exalted demigods, they come. And ordinary devotees, they come in this category. Sages also come in this category, Narayana Yana. But Narayana Para is special category of devotees. And it's very interesting that Lord Shiva has used the same words for Maharaj Chitraketu in 6th Canto Bhagavatam. Jai Shri Gaur Nitai Ki Jai, Shri Shri Radha Raspiri Ki Jai, Shri Sita Ram Lakshman Humaan Ki Jai. So Lord Shiva has used the same words for Maharaj Chitraketu, Narayana Para Sarve Nakutashana Bibhyati Swarga Apavarga Narkeshopi Tulyata Darshina. So he's using this Narayana Para as an adjective for describing Chitraketu Maharaj. But the same words are being used for himself, for Lord Shiva only. Narayana Para. So Narayana Para means completely, absolutely dependent on the Supreme Personality of God. So these devotees, they are completely dependent. They do not care for anything else other than the shelter of the Lord. Right? And therefore, right, one of the qualities of Narayana Para is that whenever any calamity comes, they just take shelter of the Lord. Therefore, the greatest calamity for them becomes the greatest benefit. Right? Normally when calamity comes, everybody is afraid. Right, what to speak of calamity, even some little trouble comes. But the Narayana Para devotee, for him the greatest calamity becomes the greatest benefit. Why? Because he uses it as an opportunity to take shelter of the Lord. Right, there are many instances. Right, one particular instance which comes to my mind is that of Uttara, who is rushing towards Lord Krishna. Right, in first canto Bhagavatam we see, right, it is the appearance of Lord Krishna in Bhagavatam, right, in the 7th chapter. So at that time, Lord Krishna is about to leave because the war is almost over and is about to leave. At that time, Uttara comes running and says, there is a great calamity which has come upon me. Not upon me, upon my son who is there in the womb. So she says, I am not worried about myself. Right? I am not worried about myself. Please don't save my life, but please save my son's life. So it is like Uttara is thinking a great calamity has come upon her son who has not yet been born also. He is in the womb and he is going to be killed by the Brahmastra, which is going to be released by Ashwatthama. Great calamity. Greatest calamity. He is going to be killed. But what happens actually? Right? Because that Brahmastra and Uttara is praying to the Lord, so the Lord immediately expands himself and he enters into the womb of Uttara. And we know that he does so many, he does things there. He dispels the Brahmastra and he gives actually darshan to Parikshit Maharaj. Now the Lord doesn't have to actually enter into the womb in order to destroy the Brahmastra. He can destroy the Brahmastra just by saying Brahmastra did finish. Just by willing he can do that. But actually he enters into the womb of Uttara just to give darshan to her Mahabhagavat, who is Parikshit Maharaj. Right, he is Narayana Para, Parikshit Maharaj. So he gives darshan to Parikshit Maharaj and then he vanishes out of there. He disappears. And then Parikshit Maharaj, he is thinking, oh, this person who has come to help me, such a beautiful person, where has he gone now? Where is he now? So the sages, they tell Uttara, even before Parikshit Maharaj comes out, even before his birth, the sages, they tell Uttara, this child has to be named as Parikshit. They tell. Why? Because this child, as soon as he comes out, he'll start looking everywhere. He will start examining everybody for that personality whom he saw in the womb. So what was the first activity which Parikshit Maharaj did when he came out? He was searching for Krishna. He was searching for Krishna, which is a devotee's business actually. Every devotee's business is to search for Krishna. Right, we see in the prayers of the Goswamis also, Shat Goswami Astakam. Right, what is that? Hey Radhike Vraja Devike Chalalite, Hey Nanda Suno Kutaha. Right? Everybody is, the Goswami is also searching for Srimati Radharani. Hey Srimati Radharani, where are you? Hey Krishna, where are you? Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu also is always searching for Krishna. Right? There is one specific verse wherein Srimati Radharani says that separation from Krishna is better than meeting Krishna. Separation from Krishna is better than meeting Krishna. Because when I meet Krishna, I have one Krishna with me. But when I don't have Krishna, the whole three worlds are filled with Krishna. All the three worlds are filled because everywhere she is searching for Krishna. Right? Anyway, so we can see here in this case that how Parikshit Maharaj actually became even a better devotee. Right? He was already Mahabhagavat, but he became a better devotee because of the calamity which came upon him. Because of the calamity, he could have darshan of the Lord, and therefore whole life he was searching for Krishna. His whole life got transformed because of that one calamity. So for a Narayana Para, right, this is the case. The greatest calamity becomes the greatest benefit. So Srila Prabhupada here in the purport gives many things. Right, and especially he speaks about the Hare Krishna Mahamantra, the power of the Hare Krishna Mahamantra. So we see that even mundane material mantras are there. Material mantras. they are also so powerful that you can get anything, right, just by chanting those material mantras. We see in the case of Kardama Muni, right, Kardama Muni, third canto Bhagavatam, Kardama Muni, he just chants some mantras and a big, fantastic aerial mansion is ready within few seconds. Right, phase 2, phase 3, phase 4, everything done within few seconds. He doesn't have to get contractors, take quotations, and then get marble and this and that and everything and build, no, nothing, interior decorator, nothing. Within few seconds, his mansion is ready. That is the power of chanting those mantras, just some sound vibrations. Right, there are other instances where we can see, even in one case, when Yudhishthira Maharaj is going to be crowned as king, Yudhishthira Maharaj is feeling very bad because he is thinking, because of me so many people have been killed. So he doesn't want to become king, but still the coronation ceremony is being held. So there is one Rakshasa who is a friend of Duryodhan. He comes to that coronation ceremony and he starts discouraging Yudhishthira Maharaj. Because of you, so many people were killed. You still want to become king. Like that. In the Mahabharata, it is excellent. So these sages, when they hear this, they understand that this is a Rakshasa. They just chant some mantras and the fellow is gone. Finish. On the spot, dead. Just some mantras. No weapon, nothing. Right? We see in the case of Vena. Right? Vena. King Vena. Right? Brahmanas, what are they doing? Some mantras and he's dead. Finish. There's one more case. There are several cases, of course. Right? There's one more case where Draupadi, the Pandavas, they're in exile and they are going to different pilgrimage places along with Lomasha Muni and many other rishis. They're going for yatra. Right? Parikrama. So on the way, they have to climb so many mountains. So Draupadi, she becomes ill. Right? Bimar pad jata hai. Draupadi. And she faints due to weakness and due to illness. As soon as she faints, immediately Lomasa Muni starts chanting mantras. No doctor required, nothing. Right? Within few seconds, she is okay. Again, parikrama starts. So like that, we can see that mantras, they have inconceivable potency inside them. Even material mantras. So what to speak of? Spiritual mantras. Right, yesterday Gokulashu was speaking that how Hare Krishna Mahamantra is not, it is an imported mantra. It is imported from Golok Vrindavan. Golokura Premadhana Harinama Sankirtanam. So this spiritual mantra, especially Hare Krishna Mahamantra, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is saying, Namna Makari Bahuda Nija Sarva Shakti. He is not saying little Shakti. Right, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Lord Krishna is saying, Namnam, I have invested all my personal potencies in the Hare Krishna Mahamantra. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is saying this. So how much potency does Lord Krishna have? Lord Krishna himself does not know that. It is said that Lord Krishna himself does not know how much his energies are, right, potent, how much energy he himself has. So infinite strength is there in the Hare Krishna Mahamantra. Right? That is why we see Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is approaching his spiritual master, Ishwara Puri. And what is he saying? He is saying that, what kind of mantra have you given me? That I have become mad with ecstasy. Right? By chanting this Hare Krishna Mahamantra. I have become mad with ecstasy. The power of chanting the spiritual mantras, right, we can see even in the story of Gopakumara, which is given in the Brihad Bhagavatamrita. Gopakumara is an ordinary cowherd boy, right? He is in Vrindavan and he is grazing the cows and everybody, right? And one day while grazing the cows, he sees there is a saintly person in Vrindavan who is crying profusely crying, right, this saintly person. So when Gopakumara sees this saintly person, he is very attracted and he goes and he asks that saintly person, can I do some service for you? Right? So daily he is serving the saintly person. So one day, the saintly person, he gives him the Gopal mantra. Gopal mantra. So Gopakumara, when he gets the Gopal mantra, and the saintly person says that you chant this mantra. So it is said that Gopakumara, when he chants half of the mantra, only half, the short mantra, only half of the mantra he chants and he begins crying profusely. When he completes the mantra, he falls unconscious. Such is the power of the mantra given by a proper bona fide source. Right? Prabhupada is going to talk about that also in the purport. So not only that, then by using his spiritual master, Gopakumar's spiritual master, has not even taught him how to chant the mantra properly. Because as soon as Gopakumara gets up, he sees the spiritual master is gone. And he starts thinking, "Arey, mujhe bata nahi, kaise chanting karna hai bhi nahi bata hai." So he doesn't know how to chant the Gopal Bij mantra. But still he chants because he has complete faith in his spiritual master. And his spiritual master has said, "You chant this mantra." So when he starts chanting, right, the mantra, what happens? Right, he travels a lot. He travels through the entire universe actually. He goes to Brahmaloka, Shivaloka, Vaikuntha, Ayodhya, right? Dwaraka, and finally he ends up in Golok Vrindavan. Just because of the potency of chanting the Gopal mantra. So we see that there is a lot of strength, potency in spiritual mantras. Right? And what are these mantras? These mantras are, originally there are some spiritual letters. There are some spiritual syllables. Which when they are joined together, right, when they are joined together, they assume more power. And they are there, these mantras are there in relation with certain deities. Every mantra is related to certain deity. Right, Mahanidhi Swami, he explains in his book Gayatri Mahima Madhuri, right, these things. He says these mantras, the syllables form together to form words. And the words form together to form the complete mantra. So when the complete mantra is formed by joining the words together, then it assumes inconceivable power. And then when that mantra is chanted repeatedly, and repetition, right? Like Hare Krishna Mahamantra also, we are repeatedly chanting. Right? Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Repeatedly we are chanting. So this mantra, when repeatedly chanted, it invokes the mercy of that deity for which the mantra is meant for. It specifically invokes the mercy of the certain deity. Like that. Now the only thing is, how does this mantra act? Is the question. Because Prabhupada says here, when a mantra is chanted by a great devotee, the mantra becomes more powerful. How does it become more powerful is the question. Right, is a question which we can think upon. Right, so we can try to understand that by one explanation. Is that earlier, when the Brahmanas used to curse, it used to come true. Not now, right? If Kali Yuga Brahmanas could curse and if the curses would come true, then right, there would be complete chaos. Especially in meetings maybe. Right? But, right, so nowadays they don't work. But earlier the Brahmana's curse used to work. So we see, right, for example, Sringi is cursing. Right, what is he cursing? He says, Parishit Maharaj should die, right, from a snake bite. Takshak will come and bite him in 7 days. He has just said those words, that's all. It's not that after saying these words, he goes to Takshak and says, "Hey, look, you know, I have said those words and all. Right, can you please come and bite him, you know?" He is not going to come and tell Takshak. Takshak has to come. There is no choice. Takshak will be dragged from wherever he is. If he doesn't want to come, still he will be dragged. Whom he is dragged by is the question. How does the Brahmanas curse? Right, so many. Right, Gandhari cursed. Right, Lord Krishna, your dynasty will be finished in 36 years. Gandhari cursed. Now Gandhari just said those words. So how does the curse come true? Who makes the curse come true? Is a question which we can ponder upon. So the answer is that there are higher authorities. As soon as a Brahmana pronounces something, as soon as he curses, as soon as he lets out some words, immediately there are higher superior authorities who make the Brahmana's words come true. Ultimately it is the Lord who is the final authority who makes the words of a Brahmana come true. Unless the Lord invests those powers in the words of the Brahmana, it is not going to come true. And what kind of a Brahmana, what kind of a person the words will come true? Only a worthy person, only a person who is pure. Otherwise words are not going to come true. Because the Lord is not going to make his word, the superior authorities are not going to make his words come true. Right, for example, if Brajari Prabhu signs a check, on the temple check book, right, that check, as soon as the bank sees that signature, they will release the funds. But if you or I sign, not going to work. As soon as they see the sign, because sign has the potency. Why it has a potency? Because the system is there, already the system is there. That such and such sign will come, and the sign has to be honored. Sign of such and such persons, already system is there. So similarly, mantra also, Prabhupada is saying here, you cannot take a mantra from any published book from anywhere. You cannot take it. It is not going to work. It has to come from a bona fide source. There is a very famous verse in the Padma Purana. Sampradaya vihina ye mantraste nishfala mataha. Without sampradaya, if the mantra initiation, if the initiation does not happen in bona fide parampara, then the mantra is useless. Nishfala mataha. There is no fruit. There is no fruit of the mantra. Of course, here Prabhupada says that the Hare Krishna, although the Hare Krishna mantra is powerful in itself, what does it mean? Even if it is not in parampara, it is powerful? No. Prabhupada is not saying that. Because sampradaya vihina ye mantraste nishfala mataha. If the Hare Krishna Mahamantra is not received in parampara, it will not give fruit. What does it mean it will not give fruit? It will not give the greatest fruit, that is Krishna Prem. Hare Krishna Mahamantra is not meant for anything else other than bestowing Krishna Prem. So it may give bhukti or mukti depending upon who gives the mantra. Some Mayavadi gives the mantra to somebody. Mayavadis also can chant the Hare Krishna Mahamantra. Right, but it is given, right, in many places, including Jaiva Dharma, that although this Mayavadi is chanting the Hare Krishna Mahamantra, only the syllables are coming out. The holy name, Naam Prabhu, is not there. The holy name does not reside in the syllables. Holy name is not there. Prabhupada gives a very fantastic example to understand this very nicely. He says that without parampara, your mantra is useless. Just like you have to connect your bulb and wire to the plug. And the plug is connected to the powerhouse. Otherwise, if you don't connect your bulb and wire to the powerhouse, to the plug, your bulb and wire are useless. Very beautiful example. It may look like a bulb and it may look like a wire, but it is useless. Why? Because as long as the bulb and wire are not connected to the plug, and the plug is not connected to the powerhouse. So what is the plug here? Plug is a parampara, right? Plug is a spiritual master. So unless one connects to the spiritual master, the mantra is useless. Unless one receives the mantra from a bona fide source, it is useless. It will not work. On the contrary, it may work opposite. Prabhupada says, sarpochistam tathapaya. There is one conversation Prabhupada is having with Yoko Ono and John Lennon, the Beatles group, right? Yoko Ono is, I think, the wife of John Lennon, most probably. So Prabhupada is having a conversation and Yoko Ono says, so if the mantra is received from anywhere, it should still be, it should still have power, isn't it? So Prabhupada says, no. Right? It is not so. Just like milk. Prabhupada says, just like milk. Milk is nutritious. It is amrit. But the same milk, right, when it is touched by the lips of a serpent, it gives the opposite effect. Instead of giving life, it takes a life. So similarly, when the mantra is not received in parampara, it may destroy instead of giving the fruit of Krishna prema. Just like the Mayavadis also, so, or a demigod worshipper, right? Because the holy name of the Lord, it is like a desire tree. So it may bestow bhukti and mukti. Right? But bhukti and mukti are also like hell. Right? Both are compared to hell. So therefore, we see that sampradaya vihinaye mantraste nishfalamata. Another example is given by Mahanidhi Swami in his book. He says that the banyan tree, the seed of the banyan tree, right? We all know banyan tree. The seed of a banyan tree, if you put it into the ground directly, even though all the information of the banyan tree is there in the seed has come from the tree, right? Everything is there, but the seed is not going to become a banyan tree. No tree is going to come out of the banyan tree. If you directly take the seed and put it into the ground, it's not going to happen. Why? Because the procedure is, no, even if you water also, the banyan tree is not going to come. Why? Because that particular seed, banyan tree seed, it is said that it has to be eaten by a myna. What is a myna? One type of bird, sparrow. Right, one type of sparrow actually. So the sparrow has to eat the seed and then pass it with the stool. And when that seed along with the stool goes to the ground, then that majestic banyan tree can come out. Right, I was little bit doubting this, so I went to Google and searched. And I actually found, right, in Wikipedia that this is true. But I was thinking, how is this possible? So I found that banyan tree, right, it will grow only if the myna or the sparrow eats it first and passes stool, and then, right, a very nice tree will come out. So like that, there are various examples we can see that how the mantra has to come from a bona fide source, otherwise it will not act. The last thing Prabhupada speaks out here, the last sentence is, Lord Shiva advised the sons of the king to hear him attentively, for inattentive hearing is offensive. So we'll just like to speak a little bit on inattentive hearing. So inattentive hearing, there are three kinds of inattentive hearing. This said, it is described in Harinam Chintamani, inattentive hearing. Three kinds. So the first kind is called as Audasinya. There is Audasinya, which means attraction to material objects. Because of attraction to material objects, one becomes indifferent to the holy name. Actually, inattentive hearing is the most dangerous thing, because all the offenses, they spring from this anartha, from this activity of inattentive hearing. Srila Vishwanath Chakra Thakur in Madhurya Kadambani, he says that if this one thing is taken care of, inattentive hearing, If this one thing is there, it can finish off all the other anarthas, finish off all the other offenses. Everything can be taken care of just by doing this one thing. And by not doing this one thing, which is right, by not doing attentive hearing, all the other anarthas, not only they will not be cleared, but they will go on increasing, it is said. Because inattentive hearing will give water to the anarthas, which are already there. And then the anarthas keep on growing, growing, growing. And one final day, what happens is, the devotee loses taste for chanting and for hearing. So it is applicable to all devotional activities, including Bhagavatam class. Right? Inattentive hearing in Bhagavatam class or inattentive chanting, both lead to distaste of that particular activity if one does not take care. It is said that distraction in chanting produces a kind of illusion. Then this illusion promotes more craving for wealth, more craving for woman, more craving for all material objects, and finally it also leads to cheating. Right? Cheating. The other two kinds of inattentive hearing are called jadiya. Jadiya means laziness. Laziness, it is defined as stopping chanting in between to do some other so-called important activity. Like maybe picking up your mobile phone. Radha Govind Maharaj says, right in this connection, that jab kar rahe hain aur mobile phone aaya, mano agar nahi uthaye to pralay aa jayega. Agar mobile nahi uthaye to pralay hi aa jayega. You have to, who's that? Who's calling me? Who's, right? So if somebody stops his chanting in between the round, for a meeting in between, or some so-called important activity in between, it is termed as jadiya, laziness. It is a very dangerous habit, right, of inattentive hearing. The third category is known as vikshepa. Vikshepa. There is audasinya, jadiya, and vikshepa. Vikshepa is, again, it is called as distraction from hearing the holy name because of concentrating on other activities in the mind. Distraction. So inattentive hearing, right, as opposed to inattentive hearing. Inattentive hearing will increase anarthas, while attentive hearing will root out or will finish all the anarthas. Attentive hearing has many, many benefits. Attentive hearing will give us spiritual knowledge. Attentive hearing will give spiritual strength, will give tolerance, will give humility, will give devotional service, will give more attentive chanting, will actually give Krishna prem. So many benefits are there of attentive chanting. Right? So one should make an active effort. And it is said that the remedy for inattentive chanting is to take the association of those devotees who do not do inattentive chanting. I'll just take 2 minutes more. One of the other problems, practical problems during chanting is sleeping during chanting or dozing off during chanting or even during Bhagavatam class. Right? Sometimes devotees say that we are covering the sleep. Because you couldn't sleep properly at night or during the day, so you can cover that during chanting. Right? Very dangerous. So it happens, this habit of sleeping, it is there for all transcendentalists. Be it a Buddhist monk or a Ashtanga yogi or a Hare Krishna devotee, all of us face problems. No one can claim that I don't sleep more or less during chanting. Right? Maybe some devotees are there, but in general, no one can claim that I do not doze off. So the dozing off can be due to various reasons. You slept late, that is why I have a right to sleep. Right? Somebody plans like that. Right? Because I slept late yesterday or I couldn't sleep at night. That's why I have a right to sleep during chanting. Don't wake me up. Right? Sometimes people are sitting in a circle. Right? To avoid sleeping. Right? One devotee came to me one day and said, we were sitting in a circle and all of them dozed off together. Right? Everybody is sleeping. Right? But a circle is not meant for that actually. A circle is meant so that everybody can keep awake. So this habit of sleeping, there can be, one can cultivate sleeping and more sleeping and one will become an expert sleeper during chanting. Right? Or one can cultivate wakefulness. What is the meaning of that? The meaning is that even though I have slept late, even though I have not been able to, evacuate properly, or even though I do not have taste in chanting the holy name, still what one does, one struggles. One actively struggles. One gives that extra amount of struggle that particular day. And Krishna, Lord Krishna, sees that extra endeavor on behalf of the devotee and keeps him awake. So we have to show that extra little bit of endeavor. I'm saying this to myself. Right? If you show that little bit of extra endeavor, then the Lord will recognize that and say, okay, this devotee is struggling at least. So let me help him with his chanting. And especially if somebody is waking us up when we are sitting, we should be very grateful. Instead of becoming angry with that particular devotee, we should be grateful to that devotee. And one particular way of saying thank you is to remain awake after he wakes. Not that after 2 minutes again he has to wake us up, and then after 2 minutes again he has to wake us up, and then poor fellow, he is just waking us up, he is not chanting properly. Right? There are some wakers. Right? Their japa is spoiled simply by waking other people up. Right? They are waiting for an opportunity who is sleeping so that they can wake them up. That is also not good. Right? So the wakers, if they have such a problem, they should sit away from sleepers. Right? They should sit away from sleepers so that their japa is not spoiled. Right? But definitely one should make an active endeavor, and seeing that endeavor, Lord Krishna, that if we cultivate that, definitely a day will come when the holy name of the Lord will enter into the heart through the ears. And once the holy name enters into the heart, then there is no more sleeping business. One cannot sleep. So it has happened to many, many personalities in the Bhagavatam. And if we keep struggling, then it will happen to us also. Right? We can hope like that. And so I'll stop here. If any questions are there, one can ask. Yes, Adbhut Hari Prabhu.
Haribol. You gave the analogy of the bulb.
Bulb, yes.
Connected to Nishpal Mataha. I mean, Sampradaya Vihinave.
Yes.
Vihinayam, and referring to Mayavadis. But they will say,
yes,
that they are just basically chanting the empty syllables.
Yes.
But they will say, we have a connection through Shankaracharya and ultimately to Dattatreya. So yeah. How come we don't have a connection? We have a Guru Parampara system coming directly from the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So how can you say that we are just chanting empty syllables in that sense?
From Shankaracharya you are saying, right?
No, they Mayavadis, they have connection to Shankaracharya. Shankaracharya is connected to Dattatreya. So basically this is their Guru Parampara. So how can you then say that we are chanting, say, in the case, empty syllables?
So first of all, right, we are talking about the Vaishnava Sampradayas. As soon as we say Vaishnava, devotee of Vishnu, we are talking about devotee of Vishnu. So certain incarnations of the Lord like Dattatreya, they come specifically to for certain purpose. So Dattatreya, it is said that he advocated impersonalism. Right? He gave impersonalism, Dattatreya. And Shankaracharya also gave impersonalism. Right? But at the end, Shankaracharya said, Bhajo Govindam, Bhajo Govindam, Bhajo Govindam, Mudamate. He said that. Now, Shankaracharya, Ramanujacharya, Madhvacharya, all Acharyas, they accept Lord Krishna as authority. There is no doubt about that. There is no acharya who does not accept Lord Krishna as authority. So now we are talking about parampara which has to start from Lord Krishna. Even the Mayavadis, they accept Bhagavad Gita. They accept Bhagavad Gita because it is Shruti. They have to accept. So Bhagavad Gita they accept, and Bhagavad Gita, who is authority? Bhagavad Gita, Lord Krishna is authority. So Lord Krishna, if they accept, then they have to accept, right, sampradayas which are coming from Lord Krishna. Whereas Shankara sampradaya is not coming from Lord Krishna. Right?
That Atreya is Krishna, right?
Buddha is also Lord Krishna.
Yeah, but I mean, my point is, how are you going to convince them? I mean, that if I'm Mayavadi, this wouldn't really, I mean, I'm sorry, it wouldn't convince me, you know. How can you say that my chanting of Hare Krishna is fruitless? There is no, absolutely no result in that sense. I mean, I hope you won't curse me what you're mentioning in the class, but I mean, it's...
I have no clue.
Hare Krishna. Guruji, as you mentioned about Dattatreya, he's definitely incarnation, but apart from even the Avadhuta Brahmana, he's considered as one of the great exalted personalities in Bhagavatam, telling about 24 Gurus, he's also Dattatreya only.
He's also Dattatreya.
He's Dattatreya only. So we can't say that he's not coming in the parampara or anything, because the examples which is...
Parampara means you have to pass on the message as it is.
So he's passing the message.
He's passing the message from whom?
He himself is an incarnation.
But Lord Buddha is also incarnation.
So the thing is, even when the Buddhists say Buddham Sharanam Gacchami.
Yeah.
So when they say, actually they are going under the shelter of Buddha. Where they are going is a different thing, but they are going under the shelter of Buddha.
Yeah, so therefore one has to learn from Vaishnava Sampradaya. Who is Lord Buddha? What is the purpose of Lord Buddha? That is clear in the Bhagavatam. Right? In the Bhagavatam it is clear. It's a different thing. Mayavadis will not accept Bhagavatam. Right? They will not accept Bhagavatam. Maybe Mukund Mahaprabhu can help. We throw the question on the floor.
What is the question?
The question is that the Mayavadis might say that Shankaracharya and then Dattatreya gave, let's say, the mantra to Shankaracharya, and Shankaracharya is giving to the Mayavadis. So we are also in parampara, because Dattatreya is also incarnation of the Lord. So how do we say that it is not in parampara?
As far as Mayavadi is concerned, it's not just impersonalism, it's a wrong philosophy altogether, and there is a purpose behind that. So when Mayavadis can say that, we will also chant Hare Krishna, we will get the same benefit. It's not the fact, because the whole attitude is important also. Sampradaya means the teaching also comes along with that, you know. It's not just the mantra. It's not that somebody comes to Hare Krishna and takes initiation from a bona fide guru and he has no attitude of surrender to Krishna or not following any sadhana. He is not really actually in sampradaya, even though he must have received the mantra from a sampradaya. It's altogether the entire attitude of the person, not just at the moment of initiation, the entire lifetime. It's not just one day you come and take initiation, I became Hare Krishna devotee. The whole lifetime that attitude has to be reflected following the teachings of the sampradaya. As far as Mayavadis are concerned, every moment they keep telling that Lord Krishna has no form. He has no form, he has no form. Obviously Lord Krishna is not going to come and dance on their tongues, you know. Because he has no form, they say, how you will come there? It's like, you know, you are calling Krishna, but you insult him saying that you don't have form, you don't have name, you don't have anything. Their entire attitude is to merge into the impersonal aspect of Krishna. So that is what they are aiming for. They are expecting that as the fruit. They will get that, only that. They won't get much more than that. If you are cultivating a plant, your expectation is certain things. You are not going to get something more, you know.
Yes.
So, Mayavad, as far as Dattatreya is concerned, impersonalism is accepting Brahman. Brahman is absolute truth. Krishna's energy. Whereas Mayavad is a special category of impersonalism where they accept that this entire material world is Maya. So effect of Maya. That is not taught by Dattatreya. So Mayavad philosophy is actually a false philosophy. It propagates an idea which is not supported by the Vedic scripture. Whereas impersonalism can be considered as a part of Vedic scripture. So one should not get confused between Mayavad and impersonalism. All Mayavadis are impersonalists. All impersonalists are not Mayavadis. So as far as Shankaracharya is concerned, even though he may be an incarnation of Lord Shiva, his purpose was to bewilder people. His purpose was to change the Buddhist towards followers of the Vedic scripture. So for that specific purpose he has done, that is not supposed to be taken as something which is the bona fide way of pursuing the Krishna conscious process. So Mayavadis won't get the benefit even if they chant Hare Krishna because their attitude is very wrong. So obviously they won't get the fruit of the holy name of the Lord, the Krishna Prem.
Thank you very much, Prabhuji. Granthraj Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Nitai Gaur Premanande.